Okay, good morning. This past week's daf in Maseches Zevim was daf Ayin Tes, 7th perek. Let's start with the Mishnah on daf Ayin Tes. Mat bein shel bein shtei chatzeiros. Okay, the Mishnah says as follows. Mat bein shel bein shtei chatzeiros. You have a pile of tevin, straw, can be used for animal food, which is dividing two chatzeres, acting as a wall between two chatzeres. Kovaya sort tzvachim. If it's 10 tzvachim, ma'alech tzvachim mechitza, it divides the two chatzeres, ma'avim shnayim ve'ma'avim echad. There's a mechitza between the two chatzeres, without any Pesach. They're totally separated from each other. If there are a number of people in each chatzah, so they make separate eruv chatzeres. They can't be ma'arav together. There's nothing which joins them. No Pesach. Mishnah goes on to say like this: El machilu mikan ve'el machilu mikan. That each of the people in the chatzah, if they have animals, they could feed their animals, and we'll see more exactly in which way. It's mutter for the animals to eat from this pile of tefuah. Let's see the Rashi so far in the Mishnah. So Mishnah matpin godish shel tevin. You have a piled up a large pile of straw, maps the kapne reichav kol chatzeres, and it divides the entire area between the two chatzeres. Meaning to say that if there was an area which was left open, that could function as a pesach, and then you could be ma'ariv shnayim if you want echad if you wanted. The Mishnah says machilin. Machilin min ha-tevin behemton. We could feed from this tevin, which is acting as a wall to separate the two chatzeres. We could feed this tevin to the animals. V'loy chashin d'ma mamit tevin miyud. The reason why maybe we might have thought not is because by eating from this tevin, the wall is going to be. The teres mechitz is going to be lost from the wall. V'loy chashim, we're not concerned that dilma mamet tevin miyud, that the tevin will become less than 10 tefachim high, to have lechad v'shusa, and now there's no separation, so it will become one nishtos v'asya adodim. If that were to happen, the mechitza now is lost. There is no mechitza. There's one. It's one big rishus. Now v'asya adodim and one. And the people from one chatzah will ask her on the second chatzah, now that in halacha has become like one rishus. But they may ask at that time, and they're not going to realize that, because until now they had the pile of heaven acting as the wall. They're not going to realize that it became less than yud, and therefore there is no mechitza. Metalzel b'chatzah, and they can do something other. They'll be metalzel b'chatzah. The issa that we're talking about, like we mentioned a few times, based on more really later, is really from Klebatim over here, just to carry things in the chatzah itself that was shavas in the chatzah, wouldn't be a problem. I mean, won't come up into their mind, like also gadaiti anymore. It talks about, like, you know, the idea comes into the mind. But maske that, right? It won't come into their mind to realize this. So that's Rashi speaking over here. That might have been the problem, and the Mishnah is telling you that you could feed the animals, and we're not concerned with this. Right? To this, we're not concerned. And Rashi goes on to explain why. Even if it were to be that through the eating of the animals, this wall, this pile will get smaller. That in order to actually make a problem that they should have a din of one rishus, then you have to have that the opening that we're talking about over here has to be more than 10 amos. Ad eser pischa have, because we know that an opening until 10 amos is considered a Pesach. So kol zman that it's a Pesach, you're still okay, because what Pesach does is that it gives you the option if you want to be ma'arif together, right? But if until now you ma'arif separate, fine, you know. So then the fact that there's a Pesach over there doesn't the problem first arises when the whole gets larger and there is no separation at all and it's considered as one chatz. So that's when the problem is. So being that Rashi's reason when I choshesh that is because you need a relatively large meat in order for this problem to arise. Even though the animal's eating, we're not concerned. And the behemoth is not might so much through its eating on one Shabbos. That's why we're not concerned. Not concerned you can allow the behemoths to eat, and we're not concerned that the meat that will result in the eating of the animal will cause any problem. Right? It's not gonna be a large enough meat, not gonna take away enough that will cause a problem. Now the Mishnah goes on further. In the event that this pile becomes smaller than 10 tefachim, and like we saw according to Rashi, what we mean over here is that it's less than 10 tefachim, more than 10 amos. Otherwise, you have a Pesach. On that, the Mishnah says, the halacha is ma'avin echem ve'ma'avin shnayim. You lost your mechitza. Now, it's all one chotzer. So they have to all be ma'avin together. People on the both sides, ve'ma'avin shnayim. That would be like breaking up in one chotzer. That we can't do. Zokt Rashi nismad at heaven. Rashi says, over here. This is what Rashi makes this point over here. We're saying Nismait over here is that the breach is larger than the Shir Pesach. Then Avin Echad, Rashi says, Im Nismait Bechoil. Now we'll see, Rishonim are bothered by what this means. Rashi, in a few short words, circumvents the problem over here. And the question is like this. It would sound like, in the Mishnah, it sounds like this is all happening on Shabbos. If this is happening on Shabbos, on that the Mishnah says, Ma'arv and Echad, means once Shabbos came, you can't make any Erev anymore. So whatever you did, you did. What does it mean, Ma'arv and Echad? So on that Rashi says, Im Nismay Pechoil. That this that the Mishnah is telling you, Ma'arv and Echad, is in a Chanami, is only talking about in such a case, If it's Nismay Bechol. And actually, it seems like he's saying that in the Mishnah is talking about either or, but this that the Mishnah tells you, this halacha and this nusach of Ma'av and Echad is referring to if it was Nismay Bechol. If it was not Nismay Bechol, then you know you don't have the option. Then it's just also. Right? Until now, it was being dealt like two chatzeris, right? And now it's Nismay. So now you also. That's the chavot Rashi. What seems to be saying. Let's see the Gemara. Omav Hunu. Ubavad shleitin l'sech kuposay v'yachel. The Mishnah says, you have this pile of tfuah, which is acting as a wall between the two chatzeres. The Mishnah says, no problem, you could allow the animals to eat it. So now if we're coming to say, give a limitation in how we're going to be feeding the animals over here. That the person himself can't take shovelfuls of tefuah, put it into his kupa, into his box, you know, into his wagon, whatever it is, and in that way feed the animal. You can't do that. Less than that, you could. We'll see what less than that means. But the person can't be involved in filling up his kupa to feed the animal. Now let's see if we can work out the Rashi over here, as I'm sure that we saw that there's Rashi explains over here two ways how to learn the Gemara, what the problem over here is. So Rashi, shleitim yadayim atech kupasai. The problem over here that Avuna is coming to say, which is awesome, that the person himself shouldn't be personally involved in taking the tefuah, the tevin. Dilma shokel tuva. What's the problem? Because if the person himself is involved, then we are concerned of this problem that Rashi said in the Mishnah that we're not concerned about by the animal. Dilma shokel tuva, because when it's a person is going to be filling up his kupa over here, then we are concerned that he might take a substantial amount. So according to this first chat in Rashi, everything is all around this one point that we mentioned before in the Mishnah. The question over the possible problem over here would be that if a lot is taken, if we're concerned, we suspect a lot will be taken, so that you lose the mechitz, now you're in trouble, because people are not aware and they're going to continue using the metaphor and the chotzer as they did previously, but now because it was in Sma'i, it came one chotzer, now they ask on each other. Now you need a joint eruv. So on that Rashi said in the Mishnah that the animal kiddi is not a problem, but if the way the animal is eating is because the person's filling up his box, he's taking shovelfuls from this thing, then in that way we are chayish, because he's taking much more than the behemoth itself, we'll see, eats, and that already we're concerned that it might be in his mind.
Why is he doing that?
Why is he?
Why am I afraid that he's going to do that? Am I afraid that the behemoth is going to eat more? So why would I be concerned that he's going to take, technically the behemoth, as such,
right?
So why would he be taking so much more than the behemoth actually eats?
Okay. I don't know. I guess you have to.
You didn't have a grandmother?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to have to think about exactly what the Mitzvah said, how this works. But this is what the Mora tells us, that if a person is taking a kuposa, I'm guessing he wants to do.
The cow knows how much he needs to eat. The mensch doesn't know how much.
Okay.
It's too much.
Okay, yeah. So therefore, Avuna is saying to us like this, that when the Mishnah says machilin, he's limiting in which way the animal is going to eat. The person can't be involved in filling up his kupa, because then we do have the chash that it's going to be in his might, it'll become, we'll lose the mechitza over here. If the behemah eats it, that's okay. Rashi continues, "Umachilun dekatoni b'mas nisin," and when it says machilun in the Mishnah, "Shabehemah bov aicheles," behemah comes and eats. Right? That's what's mutter in the Mishnah. For also mechashin leduma mamet, there we're not concerned. The behemah koli ochlo, because the behemah only eats a little bit at a time. So even with the accumulation of what the behemah is going to eat in the whole day over here, not concerned. Now, before we see the second plan, Rashi, let's follow through the Gemara with this first traction. We shouldn't have to juggle two things at once. Okay? Let's see. Now the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says as follows. Rav Huna, seemingly, is restricting us that the person shouldn't shovel the tefuah into his kupa. Ulu ukmei shori, but it would seem to be that the person could actually bring his animal, schlep his animal, bring his animal to the pile and let him eat, as long as he's not filling up his kupa. And that might more ask, ulu ukmei shori, would it be mutter to set his animal there? Now it's this kasha, seeming from the Gemara, is a kasha on Rav Huna, right? And what the Gemara, well, as we'll see in the Hemshech HaGemara, before Rav Huna came along, and anything would have been mutter, so this would not have bothered us. Right? We'll see. This Gemara's kasha is that once he's limiting the person to do it, then the Gemara's asking, well it's, from that should there should be an outgrowth of a secondary iser that the person even can't bring his animal. And Rav Huna seems just to restrict us from the person being personally involved. But to bring his animal, that the animal doesn't need to be around. And that's the Hemish Chai Gemara over here. And that's why this Gemara is kind of not a kasha on the Mishnah. Right? It's only kasha on Rav Huna. According to our gears over here, so Rav Huna himself said over, a person may bring his animal to asovim which are attached to the ground, right? Uprooting that is the mouthiness of the rice. A person can do that as long as he's not doing it himself. No problem. He's allowed to bring his animal to the end. His animal will eat asovim. However, but if you have something which is mukta, food, or it's going to use now as food, right, for the animal, but it's mukta. For example, let's say tevin, right, which was set aside for building purposes. Right, so this tevin, right, same straw, but it's mukta, right, because it's set aside for bricks, making bricks. Right? So, but it's still just as edible. Right, but a person is not allowed to bring his animal over to eat from it, being that it's mukta. Why is that so? What's the difference? Well, Zimrash explains that the difference is the fact that by asovim is nisa deraisa, so we're not concerned that once the person brings his animal there, then he'll pull it out and feed the animal himself. Nisa deraisa, person's careful. Right? So that's why as long as he's not actually doing that, we're not afraid that he's going to come to do it himself. Nisa deraisa, but muktza, which is a nisa drabanan, so there we're more concerned that being that it's only a drabanan, people don't have that same fright as they have in this deraisa. So we're afraid that if we allow a person to bring the animal over to this tefuah, he might end up feeding the animal and he'll be mipalto muktzu. So what the Gemara is saying over here, that you see from over here, that if the iser that we're concerned is an iser drabanan, so then a person may not even bring his animal over to eat from something that he might end up feeding himself. So in fact, the Gemara wants you telling me that it's also for the person himself to be involved and to fill up his thing. So it should follow that according to this, that he shouldn't even be able to bring his animal there because we're afraid that he might end up, once he's there, he might end up being mamalei kupasa, and which is awesome. That's what the Gemara is asking over here. That the Hemshech Gemara coined this pshat, right? And so, I mean, there is room to be ma'orid over here. That I mean, he's bringing his animal. He doesn't have a scooper here. Like, you know, that scooping with his hands, he's not going to get more. Not going to get more than the animal is going to eat, right? Right. So over here, lachar, you shouldn't have that chash, right? Okay, that's a good hor. I will see. According to the other pshat in Rashi, we won't have this question over here. Okay, but the Gemara seems to understand that it should follow, right? Since it's also for you to do biyadayim, so therefore it should follow according to this member of Arvun. It's a drabanan, so you can't even bring the animal there because b'chayish that person will unintentionally end up helping the animal himself. On that infant Gemara, you write the kom lo ba'apa va'ozlo va'ochlo, that what is permitted over here. You're right, it's taka not permitted to actually lead the animal to the place. All that's mutter over here is the koi ba'apa, that means the person will stand in the animal's way and thereby forcing the animal out of the lack of a choice to go in a different direction and he'll end up in front over there. Right? But to directly lead him on, you taka can't. And in this way, Rashi says, "Legoz rabbanim, kulahai legoz rabbanim." It could be that when achayish, you know, once he has to do it in this way, so he's on guard. So that's how the Gemara comes out. That's how the Gemara comes out. That in truth, Rav Huna is really only allowing the the person to feed his animal only really in a way that he'll sort of stand in the way of the animal and thereby making the animal get, that's how the animal's going to get to the tevin. But he can't actually bring him, because you're right, that once he can't do a piyadayim, then it follows that he can't bring the behemoth there either. So the oifin that it's mutum, when the Mishnah says machilin, just means in this, the koi be'apa, this kind of thing. You stand in his way, and therefore you'll force him, you know, to make it over there. Now, the Rishonim asked the question, we can see this taisis over here, the koi be'apa of Oslo. You see this taisis over here? At this point, we have to ask this question. From Taimam Cain, you see what the taisis is? This is like the third from the bottom. We'll call, right? If this is true, so why did Rav Huna, when he was telling us the restriction, he only talked about that the person can't take the tfu and put it into his kupa, keeping the osafil amida, afgav loy metaltel. So once you're agreeing with me that Rav Huna really didn't mean to even be mattered to bring the animal, right? Even if you're not bound, so why did he say? The issa doesn't limit it, and that's really where the basis of the Gemara's question was. He said that, and we could take out from over there that anything other than that is mutter. Now the Gemara says, no, he really meant to ask him more. So then why did he only say that? Tastes like this. If he would have just said also lahamid, which would be the true facts of the halacha, we wouldn't know what the reason for that is. If he would just say that, it's also for it to be maimed, the animal over there, so we wouldn't understand what the problem is. Because the truth is, the isra maimed really is based on a gzera, right? That you come to do something which is also. But what is this thing which is also that you're making the gzera because of? Therefore, Rav Huna tactfully gave over the halacha as follows. As he told us the root of the problem, right? And that we're supposed to understand that the actual halacha what follows. So that's why when Rav Huna came to tell us what the halacha is, he gave us the reasoning. You can't pull the teichu pasay. Right, which is Tosfos seems to explain like the first Pshat in Rashi, right, that the wall will get smaller, you won't realize. And he relied that we'll understand that you have this general din that whenever there's an Issur Rabbanon to do something via daim, so you can't be maimed either. And he relied that we'll understand that we'll follow. We'll take on from what he said. We'll take it to the proper extent that it has to be. He wanted to let us know what the root of the problem is. Yeah, okay, that's what Tosfos tells us. Okay, so that's important in the reading of the Gemara, how the Gemara goes. Now let's see a little further over here. Okay, so far we're holding over here. The Mishnah we're talking about. You have a wall of tevim between two chatzeres, and the Mishnah tells us that in halacha that has a din of a mechitza, and therefore it's considered two separate chatzeres, and ma'avin shnayim ve'ma'avin echad. The Mishnah says, however, it's mutter for the animals to eat from each side, and that on that Rav Huna is letting us know in what way it's mutter. The more it comes out, it's only mutter really a koi ba'apa to indirectly cause the behemoth to eat there. And the reason for that is because to be meichel b'yadayim, that we're concerned that it'll be nismait, then a lot more is taken, and he might not realize it, and what will end up happening is that we don't have a proper mechitz between the two chatzeres, and they will aster on each other, and they won't be able to be metafel mechatzeres the way they had been until then. Now the Gemara goes on, and the Gemara asks as follows. The visual memra of Rav Huna says that you can't put in. The Gemara is going to ask, only we have a source, we have a braisa, which clearly says that you can. For Hosanya. A little different case over here. Bais, Shebein Shtei Chatzeris. You have a house which is between two Chatzeris. Okay, Rashi talks about it, exactly what the case is. We're not going to go into those specifics right now. But you have a house between two Chatzeris. The Rishonim tell us that the house itself doesn't have proper mechitzas. And the fact that the house is full of tevin over here is really which is creating the mechitza over here. Bayi shebein shtei chatzeris umaleu tevin, and the house is full of tevin. Ma'avin shnayim v'ma'avin echad. The fact that the house is full of tevin, the tevin similar to our mishnah, is that thing as a mechitza. Ma'avin shnayim v'ma'avin echad. That's the din of the mishnah. Right, we'll see the end of the Gemara. We'll come back to this line. This is where the question is. Right, this Mishnah says that clearly, right, you could take a teichu posay to feed the animals. Okay, we won't focus on this part of the Brayis over here right now. If it gets less, shnei masurim keitzar huoysin el spesim vatal shushusay huosfer mutter. Fine. Katani Miyas. Let's pick up over here. Katani Miyas. This is what the Gemara, this is the Lashon, the Gemara quotes a Brayis and wants to take out one halacha, that in this Brayis that we just mentioned, one of the number of things that were mentioned over here was Zen Naisen Techu Pasa V'yachel, Zen Naisen Techu Pasa V'yachel. Apparently a clear contradiction to Rav Huna. Now, everyone is commenting on our Mishnah that you can't, because if you do in that way, then we're chayish, that the wall will be diminished and you'll lose your taris mechitzah. You see over here, not like that. Now that Gemara says as follows: Amri, I'll tell you, I'll answer you as follows. Bayis, given the ikatikra, kimivchis minker lemilsa, hochal minker milsa. The Gemara says, well, the difference whether the tevin is in a bayis, is under a roof or not. If it's under a roof, so the person is able to realize, you know, how close the tevin originally was from the roof, right? It becomes a larger space, so it's apparent. If it's an open sky on top of the tevin, so it's harder to notice, you know, that it went down. So therefore that's what the Gemara says. Right? That being that the whole problem over here is that a substantial amount will be nismat, and he won't realize it. So on that, the Gemara comes out of this, that if so, one of two ways, it'll be mutter. Either with a behemoth, that it does not nismat so much by a behemoth, so that's mutter in all situations, even if you're without a roof. And the second situation is that even in a situation that possibly could make it become nismat less than yud, but if you have something to make you realize, the whole problem is that that'll happen, and lava died, and they won't realize. But if you're in a situation that even when that will happen, it'll be minkar, it'll be noticeable because there's a roof, and therefore the gap between the top of the pile and the roof, the space, is noticeable. So then we're not concerned, because even if that happens, the person will realize, and then he'll prevent himself from being metaphor or tiltul ha'asim. So that's what comes out of the Gemara over here, according to this Prat Nashi. Now, let's see the Rashi's over here. Ulu'ukmei, this is the second Rashi. Ulu'ukmei behemtoi al hateven kedei lechol shori. It would seem to be, Rav Huna originally just mentioned that you can't put l'teich kuposei, but to bring the animal there and let the animal do the eating, that would seem to be mutter. V'legazin dom shoko b'yadayim. And we're not concerned that the person will take what is in the Sofi law and he'll feed the animal. Alma, chomale isra rabbonim v'loy overale. See, see from over here that the way Rav Huna seems to be talking over here, that we're not concerned that once you bring the animal there, you might do a biodayim. Vice versa over here, that an isra rabbonim has the chomer level that we're not concerned that a person is gonna, if we let him do it one way, he'll come to do it by oifen ha'asim. V'am Rab Chanina, ma'am irod mes behemt al gabi ha'asofim, ma'am Rashi gives him speech of Rab Chanina. Rab Chanina says that a person could bring his animal agabe yasof mechubor and left. You have yasof which are attached to the ground. Right? So to take these yasof involves, and this is the right. So it's mutav. Lechashin dilma okab yadayim umaychelo. We're not concerned that maybe the person himself will uproot it. To hachom alei yisur Shabbos, because the Issa Daraisa is chomer by a person. Aval Issa Muktza Kile. However, in Issa Muktza, Drabonon, it's lighter in his eyes. V'chashim d'mashokul b'yodayim v'sofile. And we're concerned that a person might get carried away, and once the animal's eating, you know, I guess he'll help him. I guess the b'chol, that's a normal thing to do. Hochanami kivnis Drabonon, the ikar nechish. So over here too, in Isra Rabban, let's be chayish. Now, you see from Rashi where Rashi is talking, and that's the Chayish Mora. There's two different Yisurim over here, but the Mora is making a comparison that if the chilter of Chanina Mei was between Isra Rais and Rabban, so far, so therefore any Isra Rabban should follow. And the Isra Rabban that we're based on is, you know, is that if you take it, you'll take a lot, and you'll come to the carry. That over there is Muktzah, right? Two different Yisurim. But fine, but the concept is that in Isra Rabbanan, which is Kal, so a person, once he's bringing his animal to eat, we're concerned that he might help him along, like, which seems to be the normal way of doing things. After the Gemara, the Kormle Ba'apo. Right? The Gemara answered by saying, the truth is you're right. You're asking a good question, and the truth of the matter is you're really right. Yitaka can't bring the animal there. The Koyim Ba'apo. The heter that the Mishnah says, that Rav Huna is telling us that the Mishnah allows us, is taka not to bring the animal over there, to set him up there. What you're doing is you're standing in front of the animal, shouldn't walk someplace else, and the animal itself will be forced, right, to make its way over to the tavern. To prevent a person from doing that Rabbanon weren't goyzer. I want to skip to these rashes over here. Let's skip down to the Kivan the Ika Tikri. You see that the four lines from the bottom, that rashi. This is the Gemara's test. Mara asked the Kasha that in this brayis over here, which talks about a house, which is full of tevin, over there it says clearly that one may which is contradictory to Rav Huna. And that Gemara's answer was whether there's a ceiling or not. Kivan the Ika Tikra, Rashi says, Nikr Shagaka Godesh Misrachek Mina Tikra. So it's noticeable that the top of the pile, you know, is becoming distanted from the Tikra. V'imafchis Mesorah Menafshei Uporish. And if it ends up being less than 10, so you lose your Torah's machitza, a person will realize it in Porsche, and he won't be metalful. Fine, we'll stop right over there. That's where the second motion. Okay, so this is the first way Rashi learns the sugya. Now let's go back to that other Rashi, to the first Rashi, and here the second shot that Rashi has. Lishnachrino. This is a second explanation, an alternative explanation. Why Rav Huna answers that you can't put the toich kuposin? Lishna achrina. See the first Rashi in the Gemara, towards the end of the Rashi over there. Lishna achrina. Leitim toich kuposin mishum demuktza meesmo lemechitza zum. A muktza problem. Muktza problem. According to this over here, we don't have a problem of person taking it, he's taking more, there'll be nismayt. No, that's not the issue over here. There's a mukta problem over here. That this tfuo is functioning as a mechitza, it's huktza l'mechitza, so it's not set aside for food, like we mentioned in passing before, that there's different usages for tefuah. Tefuah, which is being used as food, is fine, it's mutter on Shabbos, but if it's huksa for something else, let's say for to be used in binyan, it's awesome. Now over here, it's set aside as a mechitza, and we'll see the Rishonim talk about over here that the problem with this is could be possibly multiple problems. I mean, it could be some that it's, you know, that it's huksa not for eating use. That itself might be a problem. And the secondary problem over here that whenever something is part of a binyan, and in order to take it for use, is a problem of stira. So it's also, right? So that could be a problem of muktzah because of an isser involved. Now, Koponon Rashi's second shot over here is learning that the problem of mimam teich kuposei is the tiltul of muktzah. According to this, the kupa really is not the point over here. The main point is that the person is going to be metaltal as tiltul muktzah. And therefore, the behema could do it, because there's no problem for the behema to do it. There's only problem for the person to be metaltal. Right? That would be the difference. Now, let's follow through the Gemara according to this. Now, the Gemara asks, again, uluk mishori v'omar avhuna omar avchnina ma'im rodin misbehem t'agabe asov m'shabas ma'im rodin misbehem t'agabe mukta b'shabas. That Gemara asks, and according to this, we're really asking from the same halacha, that the same reason that a person can't be ma'imid his behema agabe mukta, because we're afraid that a person might come to be matatal and mukta be a dime to feed the animals, so you have that same exact problem over here. Right? Now that the issue over here is a mukta issue, so it doesn't help the fact that the person is not going to do it. He'll just bring the animal, because that's what we see from this memra of Chanina, that to actually bring the animal to eat from mukta is a very terrible problem, because we're concerned that the person might end up feeding the animal himself. And he'll be metaltal the mukta. And on that, the Gemara answers, again, same cheshbon as before, you're right, Yitaka can't bring it, it's only muta de koile ba'apa. Right? You can only indirectly bring it over there. That's what's mutter, kule halagos rabbonim. But less than that is a problem based on the first problem. Now, the Gemara goes on to ask from this braisa, and we'll talk now according to the way this Rashi is going. Rav Huna was mechadish to us that there's a muksa issue over here. And that's why you can't be maltech kuposai. On that, the Gemara is going to be asking that you see in that price, and I like that. By shemilu tevin, it says that you could be maltech kuposai. You could do that. Now, we taka have to know over here, Bishlam, according to the first pshat, you know, Rav Huna made up a gzera, you know, yeh gzera, nishkin gzera, you know, we hear the two sides, right? But over here, I mean, it's muksa, right? I mean, he's good, yeah, you show me a brais, the brais doesn't help me, you know, what's pshat in the brais, right? Right? So we'll see, maybe we'll see in the Rishonim a little bit that it's taka not so simple, but there should be a muksa problem over here. But let's see. The Gemara is asking over here, you see the Braisa, obviously they don't have a muktzah problem over here. Because the Braisa says that you could be nice and teich kuposai. Now let's see, so according to this, we have no, what's the Gemara answering? What is the Gemara's answer? And that the Gemara answers, Kivin deika tikra imifchis minkra lemilsa hochala minkra lemilsa. Let's see the Rashi. Here, this Rashi, that Rashi that we started, four lines from the bottom. In the middle of the Rashi, we want to pick up over here. Ulalishna demuktza. See, that's what he's referring to. He's going to the second shot. And this needs explanation. I have to see what's the Gemara's answer? This is what we need to know. If the problem is it's a mukta problem, so what are you telling me? Because over here the Mishnah says that you're allowed to take, be a dayan, right? Now the issue is a mukta issue, right? So Gemara first thought, well, you see that it's not mukta, obviously, right? So that Gemara says, no, not a contradiction. We could work out both, Right? The difference is whether you have a ceiling. If minkra or not minkra. Right? So we have to ask ourselves, what does that have to do with muktza? I mean, if it's muktza, it's muktza. Well, what is more? Right? Well, so what's that? Well, how was the Gemara with minkra answering the question here? Shuk Rashi. Ulishn de muktza nami ein osam ishom muktza el miyor ulamato. Listen to this. According to Shuk Rashi, according to the Loshan, that the Isra over here is a muktza ishom, muktza would only answer miyutvach mulamato. Only 10 tfachim and down. The chomesar ulamailo, because from the 10 tfachim and above, lav tzoyrich mechitzahi. It's not necessary for the mechitza. The mechitza is already complete with 10 tfachim. Anything above 10 tfachim is not necessary anymore for the mechitza. And we won't have the din of muktzah anymore. Okay, this needs a little bit of explanation to have understand what this means. But what the Gemara is saying over here is that the muktza that we're talking about over here is a result of the fact that this tevin is functioning as mechitza, right? And is necessary to maintain the mechitza. Any tevin which is over here, which is not necessary for mechitza, so in the first place, that tevin is not considered part of the mechitza to create an isur muktza. Now, what we have to just explain over here, what happened with minkra milsa, right? What the Gemara is saying is like this, is that being that if there's a tikra, so it's minkra milsa, so the person will realize when it's getting less that now he's running into a problem that he might be taking muktza. And as we know that when it's very high, taking from the top, you're not taking muktza. That's okay, right? But the problem is over here that when it gets lower, you end up taking from the muktza. So on that, that's what the Gemara means to say, the chilk of minkra milsa, not minkra milsa, that in our Mishnah, there's a concern of taking muktza. However, over there, there's no concern of taking muktza because he'll realize when it's getting lower, and he won't take any more. That's how you...
Why? Because the Mishnah is not more than 10.
The Mishnah
is speaking about the case.
The Mishnah doesn't have a roof, right? So, you know, so I said, that's the Cheshen. If there's no roof, so you don't realize when it's getting lower, so then it's possible that he'll take it after it got less than 10.
So we're back to the issue of Nismat. He doesn't know when he's minimizing it. So he starts out really in a case in the Mishnah where he's higher, still permissible there, what he's removing is still permissible.
Right, right.
Obviously, he doesn't see when he's getting lower. Over here, he
right,
can gauge it.
Right, right. So being that in the Mishnah, he doesn't... So theoretically, right, even in the Mishnah, you don't really have muktza. The whole pile is not muktza. But being that he can't gauge himself, so therefore we give the din muktza to the entire situation over here, right? We don't let him do anything, right? Because the concern is that he'll end up being metaltal muktza, right? Which it comes out according to this is that you know it's a little further of a gzeira, right? It involves two things that you know you'll take a lot and which we don't have the time right now. We'll see maybe we'll get to the rush to see and you know have to make the cheshbon later because you know, once you really see it really wasn't so true what I said before that according to this chat we're not concerned that it's gonna be in this might, right? Because you see according to over here it is. So once you have the extending anxiety, then let that be the problem. What do we need a secondary problem for? Right, since we have to work out the cheshbonos, we don't have the time right now to work out all the fine points over here. But that's a good point, right? But according to this, that's what comes out. That's what when the Gemara is making this difference. Right, that's what we mean. So the premise over here is that the muktza problem is only the part which is needed for mechitza, which is within the first 10 tefachim, taking that's being metalta muktza, more than that not. And that's the difference between bayis and chonza. Bayis has the tikra, so you notice where you are, so we're not concerned that he's going to be taking when it got less. So there's no issue of taking muktza over there. In our mission, there's no ceiling, you can't gauge where you are, we're concerned that he'll end up end up taking muktzah. That's what comes out from over here. Let's just see if we have a few minutes. Let's turn to the Rosh over here. The Rosh over here, it's in the seventh perek in Simin Vov, the Mishnah of Matan Shpen Shechatzeres. In these Gemaras, it's like Kufu Tess, right? You see over here on the page in the Rosh, Kufu Tess, second column.
Yeah.
Right, you see where it is? Masnis, the Matan Shpen Shechatzeres, right? That's the Mishnah.
237.
Oh, you have a different page?
237.
Oh. Second side. In the middle. Okay. So this is the Mishnah. Matmush ben shnei chatzeres, kvar satzvoche, matmush lein, vim avin echad, vil machil mikan, nismayla tev miya satzvoche, matmush lein, vim avin echad, that was the Mishnah. The Rosh over here brings the Gemara. Omav hunum v'lach liit and teich kupase v'yachem. V'oik mishori v'omrav hunum omrav chinina ein mamidin odom behempla gabi muktzah b'shabbos. Okay, he brings it like straight from there. Yeah, that's the first half of us of them. Everything about the koi b'apple. Fine. Now he brings the Rashi. Pirish Rashi shloit and teich kupase b'shabbos dimo shokel tuva. The first chat in Rashi. What's the issue? What's the problem over here? Why can't... What's wrong with being Mamal Tech Kupasi? Rashi says the concern is that if you're going to be filling up on Shabbos, so the Mechitza will become nullified. You won't have Mechitza anymore. And you'll end up being Metaltel B'Issa. And that the Rosh asks, a question that we shouldn't talk about here, the kashlon d'har Rav Huna Sfir Lein b'mechitza mafsekes ben shtei chatzeres b'nifritzo b'shabes. Rav Huna himself happens to hold that if you had a mechitza between two chatzeres and the mechitza becomes breached on Shabbos, we say Shabbos hoil v'hoshu hoshu, that if it happened on Shabbos, so bring that in the onset of Shabbos that the mechitza was there. So Shabbos hoyv hutcha hutcha. That since the heter came in the beginning of Shabbos, so the heter remains. It doesn't become osur on Shabbos. So therefore, the Rosh is asking that how could Rashi possibly say the problem over here is that we're concerned that if you're going to take the teich kupasa, you can take a lot, and that's going to cause that the wall will end up being less than Yitzvachim, and now you're being, and now to continue being metaltal the way you were at the beginning of Shabbos is also, on that he says that, well, Rav Huna himself happens to hold that this Isser wouldn't happen in midway in Shabbos. If it was Mutter at the beginning of Shabbos, then it, the Heter remains. We view it as if the Chotzer, as if the Mechitza is still standing. That's the Rosh's Kashem on the first Pshat and Rashi. Now he brings a Loshon Acher Pirush, the second Loshon that Rashi brings, the second explanation why Rav Huna holds it's also, Lo'itun Teich Kupasim, Mishum De Muktzah Hum Me'es Mo L'Mechitzezu, it's Muktzah. On that, the Rosh asks also, V'kashalon, T'loy Hukso Lo'oilom L'Mechitzezu, that it was never set aside. In Din, you can't consider this that it was set aside for Mechitza. But whether he means in Din, or maybe even means in practicality, right? It wasn't set up as a Mechitza. I mean, you know, it happens to be a pile, which is, you know, being sheltered it's being beheld over here. Is the point that it should be mechitza? Deleishayach muktzah ela besukah shenoflo or bebayish shenoflo shemetchila nas l'shem mechitza. These things were made as a purpose of a mechitza. He seems to be saying that over here the pile wasn't put there to service as a mechitza. You know, this is the they got the delivery of the animal food and they just dumped it conveniently in the spot in Milad Chatzar, right? So such a thing, being that it wasn't set up to be mechitza, so it wouldn't get a din of a mechitza. And as far as muktzah is concerned, gam hoya muktzah ben hashmoshes in those cases mishum stiras oil. I didn't fortunately talk about whether this is one thing or a second point, but this is the point that he mentions over here as far as stiras oil. Right? That the problem with such a thing is if there's a binyan stira issue over here, that would create the muktzah, which the Rosh says is further non-applicable over here. So therefore the Rosh says that there's no muktzah issue at all. And see, this might help us in the Gemara, right? How to learn the Gemara. Let's just say over the Rosh over here quickly. Venir lefarish. Therefore, the Rosh says that we have to learn the Mishnah as follows: El machil mikam, el machil mikam, the bechol ka'omer. Actually, the Mishnah is not talking about Shabbos; it's talking about bechol. Talking about bechol. And what he's going to learn, what he's going to say over here is that he's really going to go back to that first Pshat and Rashi, and the problem is that you'll be metaltal. You'll in the chotzer as you have been previously, but the concern over here is not that it happened, because if it happened in the middle of Shabbos, then you're safe, like he asked according to Rav Huna. Tchila Shabbos was muta, then you're okay. So therefore, we have to learn the Mishnah is talking about b'chol, right? And if it's nismai b'chol, so then when you're entering the next Shabbos, it was ready non-mechitza. So we're concerned that the upcoming Shabbos, you'll use it as you have been the previous Shabbos. That's not a problem. And now the Rosh makes a deek in the Mishnah, which we said Rashi bavorns. V'chem mukach lishn de mas nisen. And there's a raya from the Losh of the Mishnah that the Mishnah is talking about b'choil. The katonin is smite hat hev me'asor tzfochem ma'av nech ve'im av n'shnayim. The Mishnah says, the last part of the Mishnah says, that in the event that it's nismait, if it does get less, then the Mishnah says, ma'avnech ma'avn shnayim. V'i b'shabbos ma'avnech. If you're talking about on Shabbos, what do you mean ma'avn? You can't ma'avn little Shabbos. Right? That making an eiv has to be done before Shabbos. Now we saw Rashi, that's what Rashi added in over there, and Rashi said, if it's b'choil. Right? So Rashi doesn't have to learn the entire Mishnah speaking b'chol because of this. Right? Rashi learns that the Mishnah gives you the Eitzah of Ma'ar v'Nechad, requires Ma'ar v'Nechad, that's if it, in the event that it was in Smay b'chol. But that's not a reason to say that the previous part of the Mishnah is talking about b'chol. The Rosh is bringing that Raya. Okay, now he brings another Raya from the Gemara later on. Let's just skip to the next line. Come Rav Huna, uvach lin teich kuposai leechol b'choil. That Rav Huna says, now it's all talking b'choil over here, right? So the Mishnah says that you're allowed to feed the animal. Zok Rav Huna, but you can't put l'toich kuposay b'chol. Comes out of achidish, right? That's also afil b'chol. On that, the Rosh says that v'ada yibol l'shluki kul b'vasachas matzim l'salakle. Right? We don't mean to make a restriction that the person can't move the pile over here. Right? If he wants to remove the entire pile at one time, b'chol it's mutter. Right? The problem just is if he's going to be doing it a little bit at a time, and the pile will still be here when Shabbos, when the upcoming Shabbos comes, then we're concerned that it'll be nismait, and he won't realize, and he'll think that the mechitza is still here. That's the concern, that before Shabbos there'll be nisma, he won't realize, and then he'll end up using it. Okay, so the Rosh is going the way of the first Pshat in Rashi, but he has to make an adjustment that we're not speaking on Shabbos, because if this were to happen on Shabbos, in Tchila Shabbos he had a full mechitza, then you're really safe for that whole Shabbos. So therefore, the Rosh learns the Mishnah's Bechol, comes out of Chiddush that you have this Isser Bechol, and that's where the problem arises. That if it's going to smack Bechol, so by the time Shabbos comes in, you didn't have Mechitza, and a person didn't realize, and he sees that the pile is still here, and he thinks that he could talk to the Shabbos like last Shabbos, that's the problem. And that's why the halacha is that Bechol, you can't be Mimale, you can't be Mimale, you can't Mitoch Kupasai, which, according to the Gemara, might, you know, it's even also just to bring the animal over there. Okay.